Indeed, it is Tuesday, and another episode of Don't Mind Me. I'm Jason Page. Good to have you with us on what is a busy sports Tuesday. And you know, every morning this week, I think we could expect to potentially wake up to some major news as it relates to the LIV Golf PGA Tour thing. Look, I got to be honest. In a summer where, you know, sports news is usually kind of dead, a lot of people take time off, go on vacation. You just have baseball going on. NHL Stanley Cup Finals are obviously in full swing, but, you know, that'll be over shortly. Summer months tend to be fairly slow. And you kind of wonder, hey, what are we going to talk about all summer? Well, LIV Golf and the PGA Tour brouhaha is the gift that keeps on giving. You now have another major star from the PGA Tour that's decided to say so long, farewell, until we meet again. And that is Brooks Koepka, a three-time major winner, four-time major winner. And he may not be the only one. Now, you might recall on yesterday's show, Jason Sobel joined us. Now, if I was a really good broadcaster, I'd have the clip queued up. Jason Sobel said yesterday on the show when he joined us from the Action Network, who's their intrepid golf reporter, formerly of ESPN and Golf Channel. Jason Sobel said you were going to see more major defections from the PGA Tour this week. Well, we got them. Abraham Answer, who is, I believe, the 19th ranked player in the world. And now Brooks Koepka, they're taking off. And there's been reports of another player this morning. Now, I'm not going to go and necessarily report this as fact, but there's been talk that Colin Morikawa may not be far behind, that he also could be leaving the tour in favor of LIV Golf. Now, and that had people losing their minds on Twitter this morning, which was kind of interesting. Not Brooks Koepka or Phil Mickelson or all that. Not Colin Morikawa. Look, I mean, I don't know what more I could say. I have to be honest, of all the stories I've talked about and covered over the last 20 years, in sports talk, this one's got me. This one's got me. Imagine, if you will, I don't know, 10 of the top 50 players in the NBA deciding they were going to go play for some league that was owned by a foreign government that has sullied its own reputation in various ways, the way the Saudis have, and they decided, yeah, you know what, we're gonna launch our own basketball league, and we're gonna court all these great NBA players to come and play in this league. And Kevin Durant, LeBron James, you know, I almost look at LeBron. Well, looking at LeBron similarly to Mickelson probably isn't fair, because LeBron is still near the top of his game, and you can argue that Mickelson is not. But a name of that stature in the sport. Imagine if you had, you know, guys that have won championships. Imagine if you had this mass defection of NBA players who just said, yeah, you know what? The money's better over there. We're going to play in this Saudi-owned league that's going to play all over the world. Imagine how people would lose their minds over something like that. I mean, that's what's going on right now with the PGA Tour. You have arguably the best players in the world. Arguably the best players in the world that have decided, we're packing up our bags, we're going to play in this other organization. turning their back on the PGA Tour, which gave them the opportunity to amass these millions that they currently have. I mean, it is mind-blowing. And in the case of Brooks Koepka, who's always been kind of, prickly? I don't know. We've all heard about his spat with Bryson DeChambeau over the last couple of years. And the two of them have kind of teed off on each other. Who knows? He might be just going over there because DeChambeau's supposedly going to go play live golf, and he just wants to keep trolling Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if that was the reason Brooks Koepka decided to go and escape to live golf, was just to go after Bryson DeChambeau. But I want you to take a listen. This was last week at the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka, the rumors were swirling then that he was going to leave for LIV Golf. Listen to the comments from Brooks Koepka and the way he answered these questions. Brooks,
is there a figure at which you would swap tours? Does that exist? Is it as simple as that?
I haven't given it that much thought.
Really?
I don't understand. I'm trying to focus on the U.S. Open, man. Like, I legitimately don't get it. I'm tired of the conversations. I'm tired of all this stuff. Y'all, like I said, y'all are throwing a black cloud on the U.S. Open. I think that sucks. I actually do feel bad for him for once.
Right.
Because it's a situation. Like, we're here to play, and you're talking about some event that happened last week.
Well, there's events going to be going on now for the next foreseeable future.
I know, but you can't drive a car looking in the rearview mirror, can you?
Wouldn't have thought so.
And secondly, obviously Chase played last week, first live event. What do you make of the current landscape? It seems the two tours are kind of fracturing the game at the top level.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're both, I mean, Liv's trying to make a big push for golf. And look, I mean, I love my brother. I support him in anything he does. His family, I'll always love and support him. So whatever he does, it's, I'm cheering for him.
We're going to go to Stephanie here on your left.
Why have you decided to stay on the PGA Tour, and is that a permanent decision?
I mean, there's been no other option to this point, so where else are you going to go?
Liv.
I mean, as of last week, that's it. I wasn't playing last week, so I'm here at the U.S. Open. I'm ready to play U.S. Open, so, and I think it kind of sucks, too. Y'all are throwing this black cloud over the U.S. Open, and, I mean, it's one of my favorite events, and I don't know. Why you guys keep doing that, but...
It's the media's fault. Just get them off. I mean, my God. Can you be any more disingenuous? Can you imagine looking into the eyes of reporters and spouting that imbecilic drivel? Because that's what you got there from Brooks Koepka. Oh, you're putting this black cloud over the sport. No, guys bolting for a tour that offers them guaranteed money and no cuts and three-day events, that's putting the black cloud over the sport. I'm telling you, this is going to tear apart the PGA Tour. Again, we talked about it with Jason yesterday, Jason Sobel, and we got into this whole conversation about whether or not these golfers are going to have a case when this eventually goes to the courts because they get shut out of the PGA Tour. Now, the locks have been changed. And he said, look, you know, PGA Tour operates kind of as a monopoly, and they have made the decision to shut these players out after their decision to go play live golf. And he's saying he doesn't necessarily believe that's going to fly in court. But the answers from Brooks Koepka, you know, pretending, oh, I haven't decided, I haven't made up my mind. By the way, Bryson DeChambeau is reportedly receiving $145 million. $145 million to go and play in the LIV Golf Series. Mickelson, $200 million. They offered Tiger reportedly in the area of $700 million or $800 million. You imagine the amount of money the Saudis must be swimming in to be able to just throw out those kinds of numbers for these guys. And what's Abraham Ansar getting as the 19th ranked player in the world? I know he's not a huge name. Most people couldn't pick him out of a lineup. But what is Abraham Ansar getting? Now, this hasn't been officially announced by LIV Golf yet. All is still quiet from them, but it is expected that this will be announced in the next couple of days. The PGA Tour is having a meeting on Tuesday morning.
Right now, we're all feeling a little strapped.
Sorry about that. Tuesday morning, the PGA Tour is having a meeting. Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan is going to, you know, meet with the Players Council. Brooks Koepka is 32 years old. He's made just under $40 million worldwide playing golf. That's not enough. Needs the guaranteed money now. It's, again, it really is. There are very few stories that kind of leave me stunned and speechless anymore. Again, I mean, I've covered sports through the era of PEDs, the drug scandals, the steroid stuff in baseball, the Donald Sterling Clippers thing, Ray Rice, Colin Kaepernick, all these different stories that I've covered over the years. Nothing to me. I mean, this has really grabbed some people. So we'll see what happens on that front. And again, I texted with Jason Sobel this morning, and I said Colin Morikawa, and he said no. Now, much like Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa has removed the PGA Tour from his Twitter profile. I know. These are the tea leaves we're forced to read right now in this story. What guys are removing from their Twitter profiles to try and figure out their intentions and whether or not they plan to go play for LIV Golf. And the reason we have to do that is these guys are cowards. They don't want to stand up and say, I'm going to play for LIV Golf. They're outright cowards. They refuse to say they're going to play because they know what they're doing is wrong. I mean, you needn't have any other evidence of the fact that these guys know what they're doing is damaging the game. It's propping up this Saudi government, giving them exactly what they want. And now you're talking about a situation where the PGA Tour, I was looking at the number this morning, the PGA Tour has now lost, I forget what the number is. Let's see if I can find it. 8 of the top 50 players in the world. Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed are expected to compete in the event in Portland as well. They're not included in that list. So you could have 20% of the PGA Tour's top 50 players joining this organization. Not the only thing we're going to talk about today on the show, though. Charles Barkley and Kevin Durant, war of words. Can anybody ever win a war of words with Charles Barkley? You knucklehead. Major League Baseball's got their annual cash grab, also known as let's go get and make these 4th of July hats. So everybody goes out and buys them. We could line our pockets with more money. I know. I'm on this anti-capitalist agenda today, it sounds like. I'm terrible. Major League Baseball, the ultimate bonehead move when it comes to hats for this 4th of July holiday. I'll explain that coming up. Be careful where you spend your chicken. Got to save your chicken. Remember when Marshawn Lynch said that a couple of years ago? Got to save your chicken. Well, we'll have the Saquon Barkley edition of that story. Some other news from the NFL as well. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. We're here with you Monday through Thursday. Doing shows Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern. If you miss any of the show, download the Believe podcast, the Don't Mind Me podcast from Believe, B-L-E-A-V. It's available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. And if you have not liked or subscribed to the Decibel 88 channel where you can watch Don't Mind Me, go ahead and do that now. Click the like button, click the subscribe button. You'll never miss a show, I promise. We're back in a moment. All right, we welcome you back on this Tuesday edition. Don't mind me. I'm Jason Page. Here on YouTube, we are live Monday through Friday. If you got any comments, you can leave them in the chat box. I will get to them as we go through the show. Coming up a little later on, well, what I would best describe as a foul ball or foul hat. Oh, man. Major League Baseball never misses an opportunity to screw up something. We'll get to that coming up in a couple of minutes. I don't know if you could ever win a war of words. A war of words. I had to say that slowly. Kind of slurred it. I don't know if you could ever win a war of words with Charles Barkley. But gosh darn it, Kevin Durant's going to try. So on Friday, Charles Barkley was a guest on Get Up with Mike Greenberg and his cast of merry characters. I think C.J. McCullough was on filling in. And C.J. McCollum, yeah. And they were talking about Kevin Durant and his legacy and his career and all these, you know, different things. And how is his legacy impacted by the fact that he had to go win a title with the Warriors? Take a listen for yourself to what Charles Barkley said about Kevin Durant's legacy.
Before KD gets that great respect from all the old heads, he's going to have to win a championship as a guy, as a bus driver. Listen, he joined this, that team had already won a championship, so no disrespect, that's just a fact. But until he is the guy on a championship team, we're not going to ever give him the respect, I mean, that he probably deserves. And that's just the way it is. And like I say, the game hasn't changed. Kobe said it. LeBron said it. And so we're going to hold him to the same high standard.
Now, C.J. McCollum disagreed with that sentiment. And so apparently did Kevin Durant. Listen to Kevin Durant's response. Mike Greenberg on Get Up was reading this.
So that was Sir Charles with us the other day. Now, Kevin Durant, who frequently seems to have plenty of time to just get into conversations on Twitter, someone tweeted at him, and again, by someone, I don't mean a famous person, just some person tweeted at Kevin Durant that his...
By the way, I love how Mike Greenberg basically says the little people were tweeting at Kevin Durant. Way to show your true colors there, Mike. No, seriously. Because unless you're a huge celebrity, you can't respond to just anybody who comes at you on Twitter.
His legacy has died, and Durant tweeted, "I've been dead since July 4th, 2016, but congrats to the Dubs and my boy Steezy, a Fillmore legend, man been waiting his whole life for a parade on Market Street." Now, July 4th, 2016, for those who don't know, is the day that it was announced that he was signing with the Warriors when he met up with all those guys in the Hamptons. So
there you go. So that was his response. And Kevin Durant basically said, you know, You're jealous of the money we're getting. Durant said, all this bleep is nasty. Rhymes with hit. All this bleep is nasty. Another terrible analogy from a hating old head that can't accept that we making more bread than them. It's just timing, Chucky. Don't hate the playa. I got news for Kevin Durant. I don't think Charles Barkley is struggling for cash. Charles Barkley did all right in his career. Granted, he didn't make the ridiculous money that athletes today make. I don't think Charles Barkley is saying anything that's out of line here. I don't think he's saying anything. Forget hating old heads. I think young basketball fans are probably saying the same thing. Durant had to go to Golden State to go win a title. He had to go join a mega team to go win a title. Then he tried to form another mega team back east. Let's call it Golden State East with Kyrie and Kevin Harden, and it went up in flames spectacularly. This isn't, you know, I mean, my God, Giannis Antetokounmpo has as many titles as Kevin Durant. We're not talking about a guy that's got a handful of rings. We're not talking about a guy that, you know, has won in multiple places. We're talking about a guy that joined a super team, got his ring, bolted, thought he could do it again, and hasn't. He's an elite scorer. Great. One of the best of this generation. Great. But if you don't think that his legacy takes a hit from the fact that all he was able to do is go join a mega monster team like the Warriors, win his title, so we could say NBA champion Kevin Durant on those TV ads when his career is over. It's just not, I'm sorry, it's not that impressive. What LeBron James did in Cleveland, that was impressive. And by the way, Kevin Durant was not the man. And CJ McCollum will disagree with this, but I disagree with him. Oh, so, saying that the man, when Kevin Durant went to Golden State, he was the man, CJ McCollum said. No, he wasn't. He went and jumped on somebody else's team. Granted, he scored great. But let's not pretend that was his team for the 1 year that they won a title. I mean, this is a joke. It's revisionist history. It's simply not true. That was still always Stephen Curry's team. They won championships with Stephen Curry before Kevin Durant got there. And I got news for you. They won one after he's gone. So for people who thought the Warriors dynasty ended when Kevin Durant left, ha ha, the joke's on you. But for Durant to sit there and say that Charles Barkley's hating and it's an old head hating, I got news for you. I ain't that old. Well, maybe I am. I'm 44. Reminded every morning when I wake up and see the lines on my face. Mm-hmm. But this isn't old people hating or old heads hating. This is Kevin Durant has come up short in the rings department when you compare him to the best players of his generation. LeBron, Curry. Even going back a little further with a Tim Duncan, Dwayne Wade. Again, he's got one ring, and he won it on the backs of a Warriors team that helped get him there. Again, he played well in those NBA finals. I think that NBA postseason, he averaged 30 per game. He had a great NBA postseason. But what have you done since then? What have you done without the Warriors? What'd you do in Oklahoma City before you went to the Warriors? What have you done in Brooklyn since you left the Warriors? it makes it very easy to make the argument Barkley's making, fairly or unfairly. It makes it very easy to make the argument that Barkley is making when you're Kevin Durant, and what have you done? You haven't won anything without that Warriors mega team that you joined. And they won before you, and they've won after you, which means it wasn't you. So to C.J. McCollum, that to me, the argument is simple against what C.J. McCollum is saying. Got a comment? Shoot it over to us. I'm on Twitter at the back page. Also in the chat box here. The Don't Mind Me chat box. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can hit us up there as well. If you have not liked the show, if you're watching and you like it, click the like button. If you have not subscribed to the show on YouTube, go and do so. But if you can't watch us live, well, one, you could always watch the replay, which is available anytime on demand, or you could simply download the podcast from Believe, B-L-E-A-V. Go and download the podcast, and you'll always be able to listen to the show. We do it Monday through Thursday live from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. That's 8 a.m. Pacific. Make sure to check it out. Speaking of checking it out, have you seen the Toronto Blue Jays hats for the 4th of July holiday? Oh, Major League Baseball has done gone stepped in it. We'll get to it next. We welcome you back on this Tuesday edition, Don't Mind Me, courtesy of the Believe Sports Network, the Believe Podcast Network, the Believe Media folks. I don't know. They changed their name around a little bit. So, before I get to this story about the Toronto Blue Jays 4th of July hats, we'll do a big unveil here. One other NBA item. I didn't plan to dive into this, but we got some time today. Did you see the story about Darko Milicic? Remember when he was, I believe he was the top draft pick of the Detroit Pistons about 18, 19 years ago? And he was supposed to be this, you know, big star. You know, another one of these European guys who teams looked at and thought could be a big star, and Detroit Pistons went and drafted him. And it didn't go so well. He averaged 6 points for his lengthy NBA career. By the way, made a ton of money for a guy that was not very good. He made $52 million in his NBA career. Well, Darko Milicic, while accepting he was a bust, man, I'd love to be a bust at $52 million, though. While accepting he was a bust, he says he's a different kind of bust. He was a different kind of bust. Part of that 2003, by the way, that 2003 NBA draft class included LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Carmelo Anthony. Oh, man. Who was running the Pistons? Was that Joe Dumars running the Pistons at that time? Well, Milicic thinks that part of the reason he didn't make it was because of where he was from. Here's the quote. "The people in the U.S. are obsessed with stats as a nation," he said. "They simply look at the stats and that's it. Although I think they have the full right to do so, the guy looks at my stats and sees me as a role player who's happy to get his chance. But that's not who I am. I run away from that. For my whole life, I'm going to be the number two pick who didn't live up to the expectations. But I am what I am. I'm different from other busts. They wanted to, but couldn't. And I could when I wanted to. That's the issue in my head. But no one wants to dig deeply into it. They just look at the stats and tell me I've done nothing. Now, I will say, sometimes stats can lie. And there are some guys who bring intangibles to the table and succeed with other things that you can't see in box scores. You know, basketball doesn't have the hockey assist, and sometimes it's that first pass that leads to the second pass that gets the bucket. I mean, all of these, you know, there's all these different arguments you can make for guys being successful. There's all these different arguments you can make for guys that are successful despite their numbers saying something else. Darko Milicic is not one of those arguments. He was a 46% three-point shooter. He was a 57% free throw shooter. He averaged 6 points, 4 rebounds, and less than an assist per game for his NBA career. There's no context I can put that in that's going to make Darko Milicic look like a good basketball player. Because he's not. He was a bust. Had nothing to do with where he was from. Is he European? Is he soft? All of that stuff. No, he just wasn't that good. The Pistons got it wrong. And so did 4 other teams after them. But hey, you're a bust that made $52 million. Swim in it, baby. But don't say it's because of perceptions or the way we look at European players. God knows there's tons of great European players that are immensely successful in the league today. And the biggest star in the game, arguably, is in Dallas with Luka Doncic. If he had anything around him, I mean, the Mavericks still almost were able to get to an NBA final without much around Luka Doncic. Anyways, so Major League Baseball has its annual tradition of putting out different hats for the 4th of July holiday. Now, there's one team that kind of doesn't fall in line with this because they play in Canada. They are the only Canadian Major League Baseball team, and that would be the Toronto Blue Jays. I give to you the Toronto Blue Jays 4th of July hat courtesy of Major League Baseball. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't obviously see this, so I will describe it for you. It is a red hat with the Blue Jays logo in red, and it has stars and stripes on it. It's an American 4th of July hat for Canada's only Major League Baseball team. How you like me now? If you get a chance, watch the show. Go check out our show on the YouTube. On the YouTube, the interwebs, the Decibel 88 channel. And go look at the picture that we have up of this Toronto Blue Jays 4th of July hat. It's a beautiful hat, by the way. But if I'm a Canadian, do I want a Major League Baseball hat that's got stars and stripes and red, white, and blue all over it? Probably not. I wonder what Justin Trudeau thinks. Is he going to ban Major League Baseball from Canada? He might. Or just Rob Manfred. I mean, look, did Rob Manfred probably ever even have a say? He's the MLB commissioner, for those of you that don't follow baseball that closely. I mean, I doubt, did this even get to Rob Manfred's desk? Is he approving hat styles from, you know, different teams around Major League Baseball? Probably not. There ain't no way the Blue Jays designed this thing. It is hideous. It's hideous if you're a Blue Jays fan. I would love to know what Blue Jays fans are actually saying about this hat. It's kind of funny. Can I stick with baseball for a minute? Again, I don't get too crazy about the minutiae of regular season Major League Baseball. And I know some people are going to say this is coming from a guy who's a big Yankees fan. So what I'm about to say, you could take it with a grain of salt if you want. But the New York Yankees won their 50th game last night. Monday night, Gerrit Cole almost throwing a no-hitter. The Yankees have had a bunch of near no-hitters this year. And the Yankees won again last night. They beat the Rays. For everybody who's saying, well, the Yankees can't beat... I remember when the Yankees started off hot, and it was, well, the Yankees can't beat anybody good. I want to see them beat somebody good. Well, my God, they're beating everybody right now. Good, bad, ugly. The Yankees won their 50th game last night. And they've played just 67 games this season. Why don't you think about that? We're not even close to the halfway point of the season. We're still 14 games shy of the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. And the New York Yankees are 50-17. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays are representing. They're 36-31, and they're 14 games out of first place on June 21st. I mean, that is staggering when you think about it. I mean, the Yankees have won just about 75% of their first 67 games. I mean, that's a staggering number. Their run differential is the best in baseball by 30 over the next best team, which is the Dodgers, who are, by the way, 40-25. They're 15 games over 500, and they're still 8 games worse than the Yankees on the loss side. It's hard to get into Major League Baseball during the regular season because it's so long. But I think it's important because there aren't many regular seasons. I think this is the fourth or fifth best start of a major league team through 67 games, something like that. You've got to take a second as a sports fan, Yankee fan or not. You've got to take a second to sort of step back and take a look at this start from the Yankees. I mean, it's something you don't see. And the last time the Yankees had this sort of start to a season was, of course, 1998, where they went, I think, 125-50 when you include the postseason in winning a World Series. And I'll be damned. I mean, people are going to try and poke holes and try and figure out where the Yankees might come up short. But I can't for the life of me, I don't see who's beating them. I mean, their pitching is second to none. They get timely hitting. They've been good late in close games. I mean, every time you look, there's this column in the MLB standings page on the MLB app. And there's this column that always says last 10, L10. What has your team done in the last 10? Every time you look, the Yankees are 9-1 or 10-0 or 8-2. And when you're winning at that sort of clip, now it does deserve mentioning that 98 Yankees team sort of put it in cruise control in September. Or they might have wound up with the best record in the history of Major League Baseball for 162 games. All for naught, and that's fine. They still had a great season, won a World Series. But man alive, they're 50-17. The Toronto Blue Jays are the Toronto Blue Jays are 38-29. They're 12 games out. I mean, the New York Mets are 21 games over 500 at 45-24. They have the second best record in baseball. I said the Dodgers before. That was my mistake. But the Mets are 45-24. They're not even the best team in their own city. Again, I'm not taking jabs at Met fans or anything like that. 45 and 24. And they are the second best team in their city. We're back with more of Don't Mind Me. We'll wrap it up next. We welcome you back on this. I always say we welcome you back. And again, that's more for the video audience than it is the those of you listening on the Believe podcast network and Believe video and all these different things Believe does. Oh, there's my dog. There you go. Because we take a break during the live version of the show just so I can grab a drink, not lose my voice. Because even I can't talk for 60 straight minutes. If you're just tuning into the live version of the show or the podcast and you've been listening, the big news on this Tuesday, June the 21st, 2022, is that another defection, at least a couple of them, have occurred on the PGA Tour. It hasn't been announced officially by LIV Golf, but Brooks Koepka has decided to go and play on the LIV series. Abraham Answer is joining him. There is reports that Colin Morikawa is also leaving for LIV Golf, but that is not confirmed as of now. And again, I texted with our intrepid golf reporter, my friend Jason Sobel with the Action Network before the show, and he's saying Morikawa is not a done deal. But keep it tuned. We'll continue to follow it every day on this podcast. Monday through Thursday, the Don't Mind Me podcast from Believe. Don't Mind Me show on the Decibel 88 page on YouTube. Like us, subscribe. There's a lot of other things coming down the pike from Decibel 88 that hopefully we'll be sharing with you in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Watch your chicken. Save your chicken. Isn't that what our old buddy Marshawn Lynch used to say? Save your chicken. Well, this is the Saquon Barkley edition of Save Your Chicken. Saquon Barkley, like many who invested in cryptocurrencies, is taking a bit of a bath. Hey, Google, what's the latest price of Bitcoin?
One Bitcoin is approximately $21,449.10.
Well, there you go. The problem for Saquon Barkley, for those of you that couldn't hear that, was $21,000, the latest price of Bitcoin. At one point, wasn't it around $60,000? Am I right? I think it was around $60,000. Well, running back for the Giants, Saquon Barkley, decided to convert $10 million in endorsement money he received from Pepsi and Nike into Bitcoin last year. Hey, who would have blamed him? I mean, there's so many financial smart people, analysts, that were on the air at the time saying, Bitcoin, great idea, good investment. The problem is Barkley bought high. And now he's losing his pants, so to speak, on the endorsement side because Bitcoin, well, as you know, has crashed through the floor. It's only $21,000 right now, which if you bought it at, you know, $10 was great. But when Saquon Barkley bought all that Bitcoin, it was worth over $60,000. So that means he's probably lost in the area of about $6.5 million, if my math is correctly, is correct. $6.5 million worth of Bitcoin down the drain. And at this point, don't you just ride it out if you're Barkley? Don't you just ride it out and say, you know what? Going down with the ship. Some guys don't get a second deal in the NFL. You better hope he gets one, because he threw away all his money. Now, take that as opposed to a guy like Rob Gronkowski. I don't know if people know the story of Rob Gronkowski, but he's one of the smart... Everybody, look, you see the Subway commercial where he can't read off of a prompter, and he plays the gregarious, sort of fun-loving, you know, dumb jock all the time on television. Rob Gronkowski's really smart. Rob Gronkowski hasn't spent a dime of what he's made in his NFL career. He's lived entirely off of his endorsement money. True story. Go read about it. You can find it. The stories of his frugalness, is that a word? I don't know. Frugality? The stories are notorious. The guy has been really smart with his money. And that's why, you know, some guys need to keep playing late in their career. Rob Gronkowski, he don't need to play. If that dude's playing, it's because he loves it, because he's put every dime that he's made away. And go look at how much money Rob Gronkowski's made just from his player contracts. I'm not talking about what he's done from a endorsement standpoint. Again, he's lived off endorsement money. And when you're a personality like Rob Gronkowski, that's not difficult to do. Funny little story to end with, though. Well, not funny if you're Saquon Barkley. I once dabbled in Bitcoin, and I mean dabbled, like bought a little bit of it. There, I think at one point I had one full Bitcoin, and I got rid of it at like $10,000 or $11,000. And then I watched it go all the way up to like $60,000, just cried for days and days. Live and learn, man. Live and learn. That's how we close out this Tuesday episode of Don't Mind Me. Again, if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe. If you are watching it and enjoy the show, click the like button. If you're listening to us courtesy of Believe, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Monday through Thursday, we'll be here with you. Once football season kicks into gear, we'll be back on Fridays. Monday through Thursday, live from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern on YouTube and anytime, courtesy of Believe and their terrific network of podcasts. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Jason Page. Catch you back here on Hump Day. See ya.